Hey everybody, we got a special one coming for you today. I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sportsnista. We are having a special collab between Vegas Sports Daily. Thank you so much, Mike Dixon, for putting it together. And then
absolutely.
Ralph, man, we got Ramblin' Ralph, the voice of Mayweather Promotions in the ring. We've also seen him on Showtime. Can you pronounce your last name for me? It's Velez,
yeah,
correct?
It's Velez, actually. That's cool. It's close enough. You're good. You're good.
I got one of them names, man, that people – I had one time somebody called me Soofinso. How you get Soofinso out of Cousineau?
Oh, believe me, they mess up my name all the time, so I'm used to it. Don't worry about it. Goes with the territory.
Bananas. We want to say thank you to our sponsor today as well, Kristen Riffle, who was kind enough to sponsor the podcast today. There you are. Hi, Kristen.
Kristen. Hey, girl.
Kristen, find her on IG at Kristen Sells Vegas. We got a packed show. So we are going to very shortly here bring on undefeated boxer out of Australia, Ebony Bridges, and then followed by the champ, man, IBF, lightweight champ, Teofimo Lopez. So,
oh, yeah.
Ralph, can just real quick tell the folks a little bit about you, where you come from, what you've been doing.
I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and Las Vegas, Nevada. I stay in both places. My home base is in Phoenix, though. I've been with Mayweather Promotions about 4 years now, ongoing, exclusive to them for their shows. I am able to do other things, but I'm pretty exclusive to those guys. And we've been doing mainly the Showbox, the new generation mm-hmm. cards, and then doing some of the bigger premier boxing champion cards like the Tank Davis card and the Floyd, you know, whatever he decides he wants to get back in the ring, we'll do his shows as well. So it's been pretty fantastic. They're wonderful, wonderful people to work with, but I love working with the fans. I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited to talk to these beautiful fighters, and I'm excited to just get in it. I mean, I'm itching at the bit. I've been praying that this pandemic gets better day by day, because I know that we are fans first before we actually do other things working in the industry. And we have that same passion. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is that I know that if I'm itching to get back into it, even though we needed a rest from running with our heads cut off at these events, I know the fans are even hungrier. So it's nice to be here.
I can't imagine the fans, and then especially the boxers. So a lot of them are not getting paid to just sit around and train. And a lot of those folks have some anxiety because they're taking care of families as well. So I just hope that we have some sort of a path forward, at least for the fighters and the staff that supports them, to get in there and earn a paycheck, however that is, safely. Want to do it safely.
That's right, baby.
So, without further ado, I think our first guest is here. Do we have Miss Ebony Bridges?
We do.
Yeah. Hi. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Now,
how you doing?
Awesome, Ebony. So, Ebony, you're in Sydney, correct?
Yes.
So, Ebony Bridges, undefeated, bantamweight out of Sydney. Yep. However, by day, she is crunching some numbers. You're a math teacher, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I am. High school math.
How'd you get into boxing?
It's kind of a lot of things just kind of, I suppose, led to that way. When I started, I was five.
So, Ebony, if you have a headset, go ahead and plug in your earbuds if you have them. For some reason, like, you do have them in. All right. Must be.
It's really echoey.
No, I think.
Just a second.
Is she good? I think we're good.
I've got them. I've got these in. It's not the one with the little thing. That's the only thing. I couldn't find them.
You're good.
Sorry.
No worries. Go ahead. Tell us how you got in boxing, girl.
Okay. And in my teens, I obviously watched a lot of boxing. I did kickboxing and stuff. Boxing wasn't really popular here in Australia for females. I mean, it wasn't even legal for us to fight. Like, there was no combat sports weren't legal until 2008 in Australia, especially in my state. So girls couldn't even fight. So, it wasn't a big thing. I went off and I went to bodybuilding, and I was doing all the, you know, card girling, holding the card ring girling. And so I was got to be like rings. And I did that finished my bodybuilding kind of career, I was like, what do I, man, like, what do I want to do? And I always followed boxing. Like, I'm a really avid boxing fan myself. And I was like, man, I just want to go and, like, punch people and smash things, because that's what I've always done. So even since I was little, you know what I mean? It was just that we weren't really allowed to do it in Australia as females. So there was no point to do that. That's why I kind of veered off and came back.
That's awesome. Now, did you have any interest ever in MMA, or did you go straight to boxing?
No, I've never, like, I've never been really into MMA. Like, I respect it, but I don't even watch it really now. Yeah.
Now, you're actually a huge fan of the sport, so much so that I actually saw a video of you, and it reminded me of, I saw this video a while back. You actually flew from Sydney to Vegas by yourself to watch
now,
a Manny Pacquiao fight. Tell us about that. I mean, you just said, hey, I want to watch this fight. I don't want to watch it on pay-per-view. I'm getting my butt in the plane, and I'm going to Vegas.
Exactly. So I did that. It was probably about 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks before the fight. I was like, I really want to go. I really want to go. I just lost you guys, but hopefully that's okay. Yeah, you can see me. Okay. I can't see you guys. But that's okay. That's okay. Just look at myself. And I was just like, you know what? Yeah, I want to go. Like, I want to go to Vegas. I can do it. I can afford it. So stuff it. YOLO. You only live once. And it was the best. It was an amazing experience, because it was the first time me going to a fight in America, and experiencing that. And I was just like, this is where I need to be. Like, and just, you know, meeting. And I got to, like, I was lucky enough to, like, swindle some, you know, passes and get down into, like, where everyone was. And I got to meet all, like, some of my favorite boxers, like Barrera, Morales gave me a thumbs up. Like, that made my night. Like, heaps of cool stuff, man. And I was like, I got to do this again. And I actually did a very similar thing for the Fury Wilder fight, except it was the Friday before the fight, the Friday morning. I was like, you know what? Fight. So, on the Saturday morning of the fight, and because of the time difference, I got there Saturday morning, like about 5 hours before the fight, and then I was like, I was there, and then I came home. I was there for 3 days and came home.
I saw you. We actually got to walk into the arena together. Yeah. You've got a great nickname, the Blonde Bomber. Did you come up with that? Who gave you that nickname?
Probably my, I didn't really come up with it. I just got started being called that, as an amateur. Well, there's kind of a few backgrounds to it. My coach, Arnel Barrichello, he's the bomber, and he's all these fighters are called the Barrichello Bombers, but we all live up to the nickname, because we all are hard hitters. You know, we all are known for our heavy hands. No, we just, I mean, genetically, we either have it, and he also teaches it. So, I mean, we just all happen to have it. But, yeah, and everyone just called me the Blonde Bomber, or you know, it was Queen Bomber for a bit, and then Blonde Bomber. And, yeah, and I was stopped a lot. Like, in the amateurs, I stopped a lot of the fights. Like, my first 10 fights, I was stopping girls, like, 7 of them early. Like, I was always just, known for throwing the bombs and people out.
Now, you were a bodybuilder for 7 years, correct? Your career was about 7-8 years.
About 7 or 8 years, but I was lifting weights for about 10 years every day, day in, day out.
Okay. I have a few friends that are actually compete in the Mr. Olympia, and they're actually hardcore bodybuilders.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen what they go through when it's 8 weeks out, 10 weeks out. And I
16
also
weeks out.
I also see what boxers go through being on the inside of the sport now. Can you compare the two? And do you think that the bodybuilding helped you with your boxing training, or vice versa? Because honestly, it's pretty rough. The bodybuilding, the preparation is rough.
Yeah. So I did figure, which obviously you still need to get very lean with figure. It's not kind of like the bikini, and it's not like real, like the masculine bodybuilders, but we still get very, very ripped and still got a lot of muscle. And the thing about bodybuilding is it's 24/7, 365. It's not even for your, like, your 4 month prep. You know, it's not for your 6 week prep. It's not however many weeks you decide to do, you know, because you have to be constantly improving. So in your off season, you're building, and you can't build without eating the right food. So you have to eat the right food. So you're always on eating diet nutrition. You can't just go eat pizzas and stuff, because otherwise in your head, or in my head, it was like, well, if I eat like bad food today, I'm not gonna get any gains. And you know, like, so it's true though. And it's like okay, well, I can't eat that because that's actually like empty calories. It's literally not going to help me at all towards my goal. And I like bigger, but yeah, so in comparison to boxing, bodybuilding's way harder. Like, I mean, the mind and the discipline that you need for the dieting is like, for me, fight, like, it's great. Like, I can eat a lot of food and, you know, it's really good because I'm quite disciplined. But the nerves and the mindset that you get walking into a fight, that adrenaline rush, that's something can done your prep and you've done everything that you can, you're just going to stand up there and flex and smile and get judged, and that's all you can do. Where in boxing, you know, like, you've got like crowds watching you, like, you're going to get bashed, are you going to go, you know, like, there's so many more kind of that mental side. But I think doing bodybuilding for so long definitely instilled in me that make sacrifice, like, you got to make sacrifice to get goals, you got to have that discipline, you need the commitment, because you can't get anywhere without any of that. No goals can be achieved without sacrifice, discipline, and commitment. Like, it's, you know, you really need that. So
I can imagine that goal setting is a big part of the other job that you have, because it's all a lot of work, right?
Oh.
But when you're in front of your students, how old are they?
12 to 18.
Okay. Oh, wow. So you got middle school through high school. What lessons has boxing taught you that you're able to share with them?
Oh, heaps, like the no quit thing. Like, I know it sounds really silly, but like I in my math classes, like, I always relate the work that we're doing and just their mindset towards maths, the same as sport and the same as anything, is that you can't just like give up. Like, the kids, like, for example, you know, I know everyone hates like algebra and that kind of stuff and they get it hard. They're like, Miss, I can't do it. And I'm like, man, you can't just give up. You can't just try something once and then go, I can't do it, so then I'm just going to quit. Like, you can't do that in real life. I'm working in a sports school, so I'll say to the kids, you can't go out in a rugby field. Yeah, you can't go out in a rugby field and go, oh, you know, like, I'll drop the ball, that's it, I'm just going to, that's it, I'm done. You can't do that. I go, so, you know, when you're in your school and you're in maths and or in class in general, maths is something that is, it's a skill. Like, you have to practice it. You can't just do, you can't expect to do one algebra question and then know it. Just like you can't expect to walk into a boxing gym and do one lesson and all of a sudden you're a pro boxer. You know, like, it takes time and it takes commitment and it takes practice, just like sport, just like anything you want to achieve, you know. So I always push that with my kids, and also say that obviously it's the same as in real life, in jobs and stuff like that. It's all relatable. They're like, why are we doing a trigonometry in real life? And that's what you got to practice, and you got to you know, learn to problem solve, not give up, and come through. So yeah, that's kind of how I teach.
Now your last fight, part of your journey came true. You got to fight in America. It wasn't quite New York or Las Vegas or Cali yet. In Indiana, it's fine. I mean, anywhere in the States is fine, especially so young in the career. Tell us how that felt when you actually were there. You said, okay, the fight was signed. You are now going to be known in the U.S. And it was a fighter that was already known, had quite a little bit of experience. So tell us how that felt when you said, okay, I'm there, I'm in the U.S., and it's time. It's time to go. Let's do it.
I was like, man, and you know what? But I work really hard behind the scenes. I work really hard to. I don't wait on anyone, and I don't wait for things to come to me. So I think I knew it was kind of building up. You know, everything that I do always is for a purpose and a reason. So when it happened, I'm like, all this hard work that I've been doing, kind of behind the scenes, it's coming to fruition, and it's coming sooner than most. And especially maybe Australians, you know, they don't tend to leave for a while out of Australia, because I've. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, and not just that, like, I got to fight on a card with some of my idol, like some of the girls that I like look up to, and like, you know, like Christina Lindau, like Carly Rees, Melissa Seville, you know, Mary McGee. Like, I was just like, I can't believe I'm on this like sick card of all these top talent. It's like, My opponent, she, Crystal Hoy, I was really excited about that because we knew she was durable and she was experienced. And I love to fight. Like, if you watch my fights, you know, I love to fight. Yeah. And I love to sit on the inside. And my favorite fighters are all Mexican. So I was like, okay, this girl, she's durable. She's not going to just, like, buckle as soon as I hit her. And, like, I hopefully get some good rounds out because I actually like throwing down and punch people in the head. So, I mean, it's good. I mean, I say that now, but I'm sure with the world title, I probably want it to be over pretty fast. But, you know, as I'm learning, I want these rounds. So to go up against someone that's had a fought against 9 world champions, to get in there and get the rounds out in front of America, I mean, it was an amazing experience. And I could wait to get back. I was hoping to get back, obviously, but then we got COVID. But, you know, I can only see it's only going to get better and bigger, you know. Really outreach to my to UK fans as well. So I want to be global, you know. Like, I'm not really content with just being in Australia, you know. I want to be a household name. And I want to show that you can box and you can be pretty and you can do maths and you can, you know, girls can do whatever they want. Like, you know what I mean?
You are definitely well-rounded in terms of inside and outside of the ring. But did you break your foot or your ankle in your last fight?
No, my pro debut, I snapped my ankle in the first 10 seconds of that fight. And it was on pay-per-view in Australia. It was like a pay-per-view event. I was the first fight out on the card. And on a live, and I don't know if I can swear, but I was like, oh, you're effing dead now. Like, and I just literally said, there's no way, nothing is stopping me. And I just pretty much bashed up as much as I could. And I went back to the corner after the first round, and I said to my corner, I go, I think I broke my ankle. My coach is like, oh, what do you want to do? And I go, I'm going to go bash her. I go, I'm not, no way I'm quitting. I go, I'm not losing on national television. I'm not quitting. No way. I don't care. You know, and I went out there and I, you know, we did more, 3 more rounds, and I ended up winning by points. I couldn't put any power through my back foot, so I had no power in my right leg. But I was just throwing punches because I'm like, if I just keep punching, I can't think about my ankle, you know. And then as soon as the bell went, I could think about my ankle. But yeah, it's good. I had 2 surgeries. I was out for 8 months. Had to learn to walk again and everything. It was pretty.
Wow.
And even that whole recovery of that 8 months where I was unable to, like, kind of walk and put weight, I had to sit down in the shower and a plastic chair. It was full on. But that taught me so much as well. Like, it was, everything's a blessing and everything happens for a reason. And I thank God for that to happen because it was a story now.
You good, guys? You reached there? Okay,
yeah.
There you are.
All right. Yeah. So with that being said, the interview that I was talking about, that reporter didn't even realize that you were a boxer. You stopped him in his tracks because of the way you looked, okay? Let's be honest, okay? So then he starts talking to you, and then he says, well, you said I'm a professional boxer. He says, wait a minute, what do you mean you box? You said, no, I'm a professional fighter, right? So with now you knowing that you have the perfect circle, right, you're going to be marketable, you can throw these hands, where do you see yourself for the next few years? Do you eye a certain company that you've been looking at, or do you just want to land somewhere where you know that you're going to be marketed, you're going to be taken care of, and you're going to be allowed to fight the fights that you want to fight?
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, like, obviously, like I said, I want to be global. I want to sign with someone, say a promoter that will be happy for me to get that global fan base, for me to fight in certain places. Like, I like to fight. I'm a fighter. Like, I like to fight. I'm not here. I'm a bit older as well, so I don't have, you know, 15 years to build up my thing. I just want to get in there and have the good fights. You know, I'm not satisfied. And, like, I don't know if you've seen some clips of one of my fights that I stopped it in the second round. He stopped it and I was like, what? I was like, is that like, what? You know, you should, like, honestly, like, because, like, I hit him, mind you, like, and he stopped it, I'm upset, because I'm like, but I'm not done yet. Like, I want to keep punching her, you know, like, it kind of, you know, that's just kind of how I am, you know, and I'm not satisfied, like, because I like to fight. So, I want someone that will, you know, I've looked at a few places, a few promoters, and Frank Warren kind of they seem to be working together a little bit. So, you know, someone like that, or, you know, Oscar De La Hoya, you know, he's, I'm sure he's got a lot, he's got that French on as well, which I really like, and some of the girls. So, I mean, I just want to be signed with someone that can literally see, can see the value in me, can see the fan-friendly fight style, fan-friendly personality that I have, you know, and can see, I can sell tickets to the weigh-ins and the fights.
How about that? I mean, and Eddie Hearn is super creative. So are we looking at you, Eddie? What you do?
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Hey, but it's a matter of, like, you snooze, you lose too. Because I honestly do see that only every fight is going to be more exciting, going to be better. I'm only going to get better. I'm only getting better. You know, like every fight, my improvements are fast. Like I don't take long to learn. And once I start, like, really learning to settle down in punches and punches that stop the girls. So, and I truly believe that, and that's what people are going to want to see. And I'm cute.
Yeah, I would use another word, not cute. Absolutely stunning. She is definitely stunning. But you mentioned. I just told the CIA, I said stunning and lost my whole train of thought. So I can imagine what is
happening. I have this effect. I have this effect sometimes.
Now I got it. Now I got it. You mentioned liking the Mexican style of fighting. Yes. I watched some tape of you, and you definitely come forward quite a bit aggressively. Was that a natural thing, or is it just because you had been studying those fighters and it just kind of happened for you in terms of how you were training?
I think it's a bit of everything. In martial arts, when I did Kenpo, I was a lot of a kind of a go forward fighter when I did tournaments when I was younger. And plus, yeah, like growing up, I grew up at Costa Zoo, you know, like in Australia, and he's the same thing. He was like my all through my teens, it was like Costa Zoo, you know, Chavez, and like I said, Barrera, and all those guys. So, you know, and of course Tyson, you know, and you watch it enough. I think you watch it so much, and I'm short and stocky. I'm only 5 foot, and I'm muscly from the bodybuilding. And I like to sit on the inside. I'm not, and I like the uppercuts, and I like the hook fight, punches, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I think it kind of just came a little bit natural because they're the fights that I watch, and because of my background, my structure.
Yeah, I didn't realize that you were 5 feet tall. I think maybe, did you have all the 6-inch stilettos?
I had big heels. Yeah. I'm like 156 or something centimeters. But yeah, I'm short. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I just got that, the power, the natural strength, which, yeah, I suppose. And my coach as well, you know, he teaches that style. But I have the toolbox. I just don't have to use it yet. You know, like I can if I want. I can box. You know, I did it as an amateur. I was really, you know, as an amateur, I was 26-4. Like I had 30 fights, only lost 4 of them. You know, I was a Golden Gloves times 2 times. I only boxed as an amateur for 2 years before I turned professional. So, you know, it wasn't like a big amateur background, but I can fight like that kind of longer style if I have to.
Hey, Evan, just haven't needed to. We're talking with Ebony Bridges, otherwise known as the Blonde Bomber, out of Australia. She's undefeated. Before we let you go, Ebony, the state of women's boxing, we were having just a little bit of a rise due to Clarissa and certainly Franzon and Katie and a few others. Where do you see yourself fitting in after we come out of this quarantine and when the world can at least get back to some sort of normal?
Yeah, well, I think all of those girls that you mentioned, they all offer their own thing, and that is what makes them special, and that's what makes them be opening up the, you know, the female market. Like Clarissa, you know what she does amazing things, and she brings a lot of attention to the sport, and hats off to her, I respect her a lot for that. Franchon, the same thing, you know what I mean? You know, Katie's her own personality as well, and I think that I'm definitely going, once I get more fights, like I'm, you know, I still do need to learn, I still need to get, you know, get my name out there, but I know it won't take long. And I just, again, want to bring out that different kind of, you know, a different aspect of women's boxing, you know what I mean? You know, you can fight. But, yeah, like, you know, I want to show that. Like, I want to show that, you know, we all can fight hard, girls fight hard, and we're just as serious as the men, you know? And, yeah, So, and I feel like I can be up there definitely. It's just about, you know, getting the right my team behind me. I'm managed by Split T, and you know, getting them to get me the right fights and to progress my learning and also get me ranked, and I'll be up there.
I
Well,
have no doubt.
you're a breath
Hopefully.
of fresh air. We appreciate you coming
Thanks,
on.
Ra.
And when you get back out to Vegas, we're definitely going to have to link up with you. We'll get you over to Layla McCarter. I'm pretty sure she'd love to meet you. And
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
yeah, she's a really big proponent of women's boxing. She loves
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
She respects, and like you, she respects everybody across the board. And that's what the sport
Yeah,
needs is
everyone's
more
doing their own
respect.
thing. Yeah, exactly. And you'll see on my social medias, I'm always pushing the girls. Like, I mean, I always retweet. I retweet their stuff, or like I'll share their stuff. I did like I get the girls together, like with Franchon. I got the Aussie girls together. Like, there's no enemies to me. And you know, to me personally, I'm not insecure. I would love to bring the girls up because, like, personally, I don't think anyone can steal my shine anyway. So I don't really mind helping everyone. Like, I'm sick. Oh, my cat. This is
Where's
my
my
cat,
cat?
Bruce. Bruce. But yeah, he just keeps trying to get in. Yeah, like. Going to be more people's faces rather than just seeing all this bitchiness and stuff like that. I mean, there's a time and a place for it. It's good for a bit of banter, but yeah. So I don't know. Everyone's doing the same thing. Everyone's grinding. Everyone's working hard, and I respect everyone. You know, no one disrespects me. So, and if they do, that's their problem. Have fun.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Thank
It's
you
been a
so much. I
pleasure.
appreciate it, guys. Please take care in the COVID. Stay safe, and hopefully, I will see you guys soon. And thanks to all my fans tuning in. Love yous all. Keep it up, and see yous all soon.
I
Bye.
appreciate you, girl. Fido.
See ya.
Man, what a that's
Awesome.
she's awesome, huh?
Listen, the thing that people don't understand about the fight game is it's a business of selling people. And not
Yes.
just fights. She can fight, and she's got this great big personality. She ain't hard to look at. We're gonna have to figure it out. I think women's boxing really needs her to be in more of a spotlight.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, for certain. So you mentioned a name that you needed, that you thought she needed to meet when she got to the stateside. Can you say it again?
Layla McCarter. And the reason for that is when I got to Vegas to start working normally, she was always at the Mayweather gym. I mean, she lives in that gym. She spars guys. She spars guys that are three weight classes above hers. She doesn't care. She's just a fighter. But she respects everyone. You never see her out of pocket with any other fighter, disrespecting any other fighter. If someone says, "Hey, what about Clarissa? What about this, that?" Well, she says, "Hey, here's the situation. If it happens, it happens." She's a wonderful fighter. And if we fight, that's great. If not, I respect her. She's a wonderful champion, and that's class to me. So I always praise her. I always look out for her because she's one of a kind. Layla McCarter's pretty awesome. So.
We just so just want to say hello to, I think it's Moses Lewis, that just chimed in. Yeah, that was a great interview. Anytime that anybody gets to talk to Ebony, they're always surprised at how fun she is to talk to. But she's also incredibly smart. She's a math teacher. How many of y'all teach in math? Just,
Oh, those kids must be like, hey, those kids must be like bragging, right? Wow, that's
I got Miss Bridges. I got Miss
right.
Bridges.
Let my 12-year-old be in her math class. She'd be coming home talking about her every day, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. She's pretty awesome, though. We're gonna have to look out for her, and definitely part of the dream for her coming true already, being able to perform in the U.S. So we'll have to look out for her. Good things coming.
We are still waiting on Teofimo. That we had heard he's going to be logging in shortly. I believe he's in Arkansas, and so things run a little bit slower in Arkansas.
No
So
worries. No worries. What are you
we
doing
just
out
circle.
there in Vegas for your supposed stay-at-home quarantine? Honestly, for me, I do real estate as well on the side. So for me, working out of my home is pretty normal. Although, like I said, I have probably watched every 30 for 30, every old boxing fight, every fight from the 70s and 80s. I've already passed them all. So right now, hopefully, I can find some other content to keep myself busy with, because I'm running out of stuff to watch, actually.
Man.
But so, what are you doing? What are you doing to stay safe? I mean, yeah, everybody's got to take care of themselves, right?
Well, I have a 6 and 7 year old, so I am literally homeschooling them, and I'm a writer by trade, and so
Nice.
I literally have pulled 2 all-nighters back to back, Wednesday and Thursday. I've had between those 2 days, I've had maybe 3 hours of sleep. So yeah, I'm still,
Wow, good for you.
Still like I actually been a published writer since I was 7 years old, and I'm
Really?
seven, I'm 27 now, kind of
Nice.
celebrating that anniversary of the 27th birthday over and over again.
Me
So
too.
I've
Me too. I
always.
celebrate 27 every year too.
Hey, Ebony's in the chat. Thanks for tuning in. I think it might be like 11 o'clock or so her time now. So she's not long woken up. So yeah, so thanks for hanging with us, Ebony. If you're still in the chat, what time is it for you right now? But
I think it's close to noon over there
is
for,
it?
yeah, like 11:40, approaching 11:40, something like that. It was good. You know what's good about when you do interviews like that? Sometimes it's hard for younger athletes, and it's just not in boxing, to be able to express themselves and to be able to get used to the interview process. Obviously, she's been around the people that have in her bodybuilding and teaching, being able to speak to kids, and that's wonderful, and that's going to help a long ways. And that's one of the things that I try to help out with these younger guys when I interview them, is to kind of not lead them along, but tell them that you could talk to them like friends or family, and that usually helps out a lot in their interviews because they get comfortable and they're able to express themselves more. So it's pretty awesome.
So, Ralph, you're in the ring quite a bit, and are there moments where you're talking with a fighter and you're realizing, like, man, they're not here right now? And what do you do?
Yeah, you know what? Normally, I try to, if I'm lucky, if it's a bigger show, we're usually there like Wednesday night, right? And Thursday morning. Usually Thursday morning, they still have about another 5 to 7 pounds to drop. So usually, if I'm going to talk to somebody and see how their life is going on at that moment in time, that's usually the day I do it. Because the day of the weigh-in, not only am I trying to get organized, but the fighters are not in a good mood, especially if someone is trying to make weight or they have dropped 3 or 4 pounds that day. I stay far as hell away from them as possible because I can just see it in their face now. I can see the struggle. I can see the attitude. I can see they're not talking to anybody. They have the, their hoodies on. They're just keeping to themselves, and that's usually an indication they don't want to be messed with, so they stay away from each other. And usually after the weigh-in dinner, if they're around the casino a little bit, I'll talk to the teams, see how the fighters are doing. I've been able to do a little bit of blow by blow for the Mayweather promotion stream, and that kind of helps out getting to know the fighters. But being around the business, like you are and myself, we're pretty blessed because we get to know them outside of the ring sometimes, like maybe the Hall of Fame functions, the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, or some of the fight nights that I may not work, but I'm still a fan. I'll still attend almost every fight that I possibly can just to be there and be part of it. You get to know these guys. And they're human beings. They're just like you and I. They love people to not, yank them around a little bit. And they struggle the same way we do. They have the same family problems. They have the same issues with, trying to keep a healthy lifestyle, trying to maintain. Social media has never been like it is now. This,
No.
even 5, 10 years ago, if you say, hey, I'm gonna get you on Zoom, but we're gonna do a live stream with this software, you would have been like, what are you talking about? They have nothing like that. It's the world is changing and revolving, and unfortunately the boxers have no choice but to have to get used to it, right? So it's more of an uncomfortable level on their part, but I do see that because the younger guys have their own IG accounts and their own Facebook accounts, they're moving at their own pace, and now they're becoming comfortable. And some, like my friend Rolly, the fight for Mayweather promotions. That guy takes Instagram to a whole nother level. I don't even have to tell him anything. He provided,
Yeah, you ain't got to tell him.
I ask him one question, and I've got 2 hours worth of answers from him. So it just depends on the comfort level from them.
So speaking of the man with the answers, I see Teofimo. I think you're on mute though, man. Hey,
There we
so
go.
we
What's
have
going on,
the
man?
IBF lightweight champ, Teofimo Lopez. How you doing? You've had a
Good.
long day.
I've had a very long day today, actually. Yesterday and today. We just moved in into just something temporary in our apartment, just for the meantime until we settle in, see what happens with the house, everything. So right now I'm just fixing everything up, and yeah, but I'm gonna put this to the side.
Is that a curtain rod? Is that a shower rod you got in your hand, man? What is that?
No. It's a over the door shoe organizer. Wifey got it. I gotta make it.
Gotta connect the ham bone to the leg bone and make it work. Are you still in Arkansas? I know you'd left New York for a moment. Where are you?
No,
right now?
I left. That's, we got everything in here right now. We just got all of our stuff yesterday, and been just nonstop cleaning, fixing everything, and trying to make the most out of everything.
What was the main reason why you left New York?
Well, obviously COVID-19, you know, I had to leave because of that. And we were planning to move out here. And get a house and everything, but things changed once all this pandemic happened. So we had to pretty much put everything on standby until further notice. And, you know, we just got an apartment now. I was staying at my sister-in-law's house for the time being, for the duration of like a month. And now, you know, we just finally got a place, and yeah, just trying to, you know, finally kind of have a life going again, you know?
Right.
But what's up? I got a haircut too, so it's actually, I don't mind.
Who did it? Did you do it yourself, or you had somebody come do it?
No, I won't do this myself. Heck no. I had someone do it for me, so it's been good. But let's talk about boxing. What's going on?
Hey, let's talk about boxing. So, you know, Bob Arum has said that he was looking at having the company operational sometime in June. But that doesn't mean the big fights are happening. Obviously, the big fight for you is going to be Lomachenko. You've been vocal about not wanting to fight in empty arenas. So who's the guy who gets it then? Who's the guy down there? Is that Lee Selby? Is, you know, I know Devin Haney's out there, and I know Ryan Garcia's out there.
Yeah. Apparently, we're only going to be able to fight American fighters. So, you know, those two guys are definitely on the list and on the hit list, and Gervonta Davis and so on and so forth. Whoever's here in the U.S., you know, we'll go after.
Who do you
want? Time being, yeah.
Who's the first one on your list?
The thing is, like, we're eyeing on Loma, you know what I mean? But since he's back in Ukraine, you know, obviously due to the pandemic of the coronavirus, and, you know, he has to be with his family, that's all understandable. You know, he can't come back here to the U.S. until then. So it'll be any of these guys. It could be Devin. It could be Ryan. It could be whoever's up to the plate.
I see Richard Comey was calling your name again. You interested in that rematch?
Nah, there's no point. Honestly, mm-hmm. if we were head to head on each other, then maybe, you know.
But you kind of laid them out.
Yeah, so I think that right there just pretty much just changes the whole part of talking about it again.
Can you take me to the moment when they raised your hand and they said and knew? What was the first thing going through your mind? Was it more relief that it was over, or was it pride that you actually did it? It was a very short climb for you.
I think the best thing was just pretty much, just the relief, you know, not pride, nothing. You know, I always said it, even in those documentaries that they were doing, you know, I said, you know, I'm a champion. I don't need a belt to tell me I am a world champion, you know. And going through trials and going through things, I mean, that just with everyone. I think everyone in life, you know, is a world champion, you know. But being with this stuff and everything, I mean, just the relief of finally knowing that you have it, I think that's just the cherry on the top. Or I could say the icing on the cake, and then beating Loma and winning all four belts would put the cherry on the top.
Now, you winning, I'm sorry. You winning your world title in just 15 fights, first Honduran boxer to ever do that, Olympic 2016 representing your country. Does that make you feel more proud of what you are doing for your country rather than any belt that you could ever win? Because you tend to really carry your culture, and you mention your country quite a bit. So tell us a little bit, for people that aren't really familiar with how proud you are of being able to fight for your country and win the belt, being the first Honduran to do so.
I think for anyone, you know, whether it's, you know, any country, I think that once you are able to represent that country, right, and you want to put it out there in the map, you know, I think that's what's like the best thing about it. So, you know, being able to be the first, you know, Honduran world champion, I mean, I made history right there. You know, I could actually really just rest in peace off of that, you know, but
that's right.
We got to keep going, you know, we got to keep going. We got to keep striving. I mean, just to put on for the Latin people and for all Central America and everything, I think that's like one of my main things. On top of everything else with the young kids, I mean, all the immigrants from Haitians, from everywhere around the world, you know, that's a big thing that I want to start working on. You know, kids to me is like my number one thing because I was once like them, you know, from growing up seeing from Andre Berto, Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, Andre Ward, Sugar Ray Leonard, seeing those guys and being able to even just see them once was like breathtaking. It was a moment that I just will always cherish. So when I see them and they look at me now, it's like I was once them. So I always give my time back to them.
That's right.
Go ahead, Ralph.
No, go ahead. I'll wait.
What has surprised you the most about the boxing business? Because coming up as a kid, you think you want to get out there and get those wins. But then all of a sudden you're hit with the matchmaking side, the promotion side, and all the other things.
I think, honestly, the most surprising part is how – can I curse? No, I can't curse.
You can if you want to.
Man, go ahead, bro. I'm probably sleep one or two anyway.
Just how much of a bitch these fighters can be. You know, they talk a big game, but they won't back it up when the time comes. I'm the type of fighter that if you want to fight me, let's make it happen. Let's start, you know, and this thing kind of surprises me that they talk a big game, you know, but they don't want to, you know. Right now I'm dealing with a part where they want me to do a tune-up fight because Loma's asking for a tune-up fight, you know, before fighting me. And now they want me to start doing one as well just to stay active. And it's like, I don't need a tune-up fight. Loma is my tune-up fight. You know, that is right there. That's what we went and set ourselves to do, you know, to fight for all the four belts, you know. And I'm pretty sure we call out Devin and we say, hey, let's make the fight happen. They're not going to accept it because he's coming off from an injury and it's too soon for them. So a lot of these guys are not going to take it right now. So it's stressful. It's stressful on my end because I try to make the biggest fights happen for the fans. But all I can do really is just do my part and just keep winning.
Now, you're in your early 20s. You talk to my boy Rolly a lot on Instagram. You guys were just on the video a couple days ago. He's a good friend of mine. I've seen you around him a lot of the fights, especially when I'm working. You guys are in your early 20s, man. And I know you guys like being out. You like being active. You like going to the fights. You always support. I always see you at our fights, even if you're not even fighting or it's not your promotion. You're there supporting, which we appreciate that. But this whole thing with COVID right now, is it bothering you that you're having to stay in confined spaces? Is it bothering you that you can't just get up and say, hey, I'm heading down to the gym or I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to go to the movies. Has it affected you? Because in my early 20s, dude, I couldn't stay home and I'm not even fighting. So I just want to know how that's affecting you guys. And I know that we were just talking about before you got on how social media now for you guys being young kids, we didn't have we didn't have the Instagram live. I had to page my friends. And if they answered me back, then cool. Then I got to talk to them. But how has that affected you to not just be able to get up and say, hey, I'm going to go to the movies. I'm going to take my wife to dinner. I'm going to go to the gym. How are you dealing with that?
Well, first off, shout out to Moses Lewis. Lewis. But yeah, just getting back to that, honestly, you know, I moved to Jonesboro. There's nothing to do out here in Jonesboro. I just like to stay isolated. Just that alone, here in Arkansas, there ain't nothing to do. So that right there, I like to stay isolated. I don't like being around crowds like that. And I don't like to be ambushed by any means necessary. I don't like it. But, you know, just trying to make the most of it. I just finished working out, and then I had to come back here. Keep working on the apartment until then. And then, you know, tomorrow working out again, just been staying busy, staying intact, staying in shape and trying to make the most out of everything. You know, this right here doing the apartment kind of keeps us busy, keeps us going, keeps us entertained. We just got our stuff from New York. I'm excited about it. Really am. And then hopefully, you know, I know they're starting to bring up, you know, they're starting to open up, you know, a couple stores, a couple things more, and little by little, it looks like, you know, we'll start hopefully making a fight happen and things like that. You know, I just got to be careful. That's all.
I know you're anxious to get back, but are you? Do you have any concerns about getting back too soon in terms of anybody getting sick?
Absolutely, that's my main concern. I know that I spoke with Bob Arum, actually a few days ago with my father, and we had a conversation about it because Bob really wants me to fight. You know, he wants me to be one of the main fighters to come back and do that thing that he's been talking about. You know, June, July, August, bring back boxing without the fans and everyone spectate at home, you know, and I told him, like, I'm not going to do it because of my health conditions. I am not going to chance that. I'm not going to risk everything. I want to see how everything plays out, though. If everything is works smoothly and everybody and all the fighters that fought that night doesn't catch it within those 14 days later, then maybe we could talk about making the fight happen, you know, and go on from there. And also, you know, give back to the fans. They need to see some entertainment again, you know, so. But I told him, he's like, I like how, you know, you're not just jumping to the money. I was like, I'm already good. I'm set for it right now. I'm financially okay. You know, me and my wife, my family, we're good. You know, that's not my thing. My main concern is my health. You know, health comes first before anything. Fuck a job. Fuck boxing right now, man. Me with asthma and everything, I cannot risk that. It's my life on the line.
So it's a more of, a lot of people were taking the fact that you were maybe being selfish in a way with that comment. So it is because of health reasons, number one, and then a crowd later. Obviously, you're a fan favorite. You want to get back to the crowd, but you're worried about your health.
How am I being selfish if I'm the type of person to come out there and have the fans actually be there in person to see it live?
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
You know what I mean? How is that being selfish that by me not saying, hey, I'm going to fight without you guys being there, but you guys can see at home? You know, it's not the same energy. You ever been in New York? You ever been to the Barclays Center or Madison Square Garden? You ever been to LA? You ever been to the Staples Center? I mean, the StubHub Center.
I've announced at Barclays. It's wild in there, bro. It's crazy. I agree with you 100%.
It's so much different than being at home with your family that some of them probably don't even know about boxing. And you're over there jumping and excited, but you don't really have that many people to jump with. So I know people are going to criticize and try to make it seem like I'm being selfish. My main thing is that I'm an entertainer. I get paid to entertain. And that is, who do I get paid to entertain? Is the fans. That's my number one priority. What I do and what I love to do is with the fans. And why I do it is because of the fans. That is the main reason. Mm-hmm. And then my health conditions, it's another reason why it tops everything else.
Right.
You mentioned reaching out to the fans, and you've been doing a lot of Instagram lives in the past couple of weeks. You mentioned something about a walkout song. You were listening to something and you said, I'm thinking about making this my new walkout song. What was it? Because I came in just as you were saying and I didn't hear the song.
There's a few songs, but I got that I have. Some are from, obviously, with DMX. I always run out with that. I'll come out to Biggie again or something. And I don't know, just change it up. Who knows? You know, The Baby. I don't know. Stuff that people are kind of like tuned into now, you know. Music that you guys obviously didn't listen to back then that, you know. But it's at this point in time with this era, a lot of people, that's really what they can listen to. Honestly,
hey, I'm only 40. I listen to DMX.
You know, I love DMX. Teofimo is like a young old. Like, you definitely are an old soul, you know, but you know, 20 something years old, but that's the same. You know,
Nas, Jay-Z, DMX. I mean, we got Eminem, we got 50 Cent, Tupac, Biggie, Mobb Deep. I mean, I keep going if you want, but
no, you know, rap has changed. It's crazy because I actually still find myself reverting back to that because of some of this stuff now, it's pretty wild, man. I can't even understand it, to be honest with you. So
I can't. Are you watching any of these battles on Instagram between these DJs and these producers? Not into it at all?
I didn't even know what's going on. I've been caught up with life right now. So
everybody's trying to escape life. You actually like try to get caught up in life. You know, before we let you go, how's your camp doing? How's folks that are in your training camp and other folks who rely on you actually getting out there and fighting? How are they doing right now if things are shut down?
For the most part, you know, we've been doing, you know, everyone is just pretty much isolated. you know, quarantine and everything, trying to do the best that they can. So we can try to speed up the process by killing or trying to minimize, you know, COVID-19 as much as possible. So that way we can start everything rolling again. And I think if we all work as a team, and that's just not with just my team, but with everyone around us in the world, I think that's when we'll start being able to work on things and make it where it won't be by the end of the year. It'll be probably by a few more months, you know? So that's my thing. I mean, we've been talking about it, and me, my team, and I, and working out, that's a must. You know, I can't, honestly, I'll be at who knows what weight, you know, but I won't be at 35 or 50, you know what I mean? So
try to get close as possible, right?
Well, they're not that much Latin food in Arkansas, so you don't got to worry about that. He'll be all right with his diet. I don't think that's too many.
That you're right about.
You got a lot of steak, though. You know, Jeremy Long, the other half of the Levels podcast, is actually chiming. He wants to know if you're going to do any more Fortnite dances.
I don't know. I think Fortnite died. You know, they got this whole thing now. So I feel like it'll probably go to something else, you know.
Yeah, you got to come on.
Celebrations.
Yeah, you got to keep something. You can't just let that go. You got to figure something out.
No. I'm known for my celebrations on top of it. You know, people love to see the knockout, the backflip, and then something on top of it. So I try to do a lot for the fans, you know, something to entertain them. My last fight with Comey, I did the bop. You know, with the baby stuff. I mean, stuff that they kind of relate to. But we'll see, you know. Probably do, like, who knows, maybe Terry Owens type of celebrations. You never know.
One thing I want to end on for me, and then Cassandra can close on her. The family affair, you stated in an article just recently that they asked you if you kind of regret it. Having that so out in the open. First of all, I want to tell you how you dealt with that. It's never easy, my man, and it's never a right or wrong place to just let what you're feeling inside emotionally come out so that everybody can see that. And you said that you learned a valuable lesson in doing that. And do you think that lesson will carry you on for as long as you live, even outside of boxing? Because there's a lot of times where, like I was talking to Cassandra before you got on how we get to see the backside of the sport that a lot of fans don't get to see because we're inside the sport. You actually flipped it and you made this stuff personal. And at the same time, you said it was a valuable lesson for you. So I just want to commend you first on doing that, because it takes balls, dude, to do something like that. And it takes a lot of guts to have that out in the open so that everybody, because you were going to get criticized regardless, right or wrong, you were going to hear it from somebody. Yeah. But the lesson that you learned, can you a little bit just reiterate on that a little bit? Because even though you learned the lesson, the article really didn't cover that. And I was really intrigued by that, because I'm always learning lessons in life, and I'm 41 years old. And every day we learn things as we go along, even in this sport. So I'm just curious to know what that lesson was. And I don't, you know, again, it's not a bad thing. It's a really good thing. And I commend you on how you handled that. But I'm just curious on the lesson that you learned, if you can just reiterate on that.
Honestly, you know, it's I think what I think the fans, and I think in every sport that, you know, every sport entertainment that we do, my thing pretty much was trying to be vocal in the sense of we all go through something, and no matter if you're a celebrity, I don't consider myself a celebrity. You guys can say I don't think of it as that, but just bigger people out there, you know, whether it's LeBron or any of those type of athletes, you know, we all go through trials and we all go through things that we, and within ourselves, makes us who we are, you know, at the end of it all, you know. And if you don't learn something, then you're not living life, you know. Right. You got to learn something new each and every day. You know, I just try to keep it pretty much sane and try to tell myself that, hey, you know, this wasn't right, but at least they got to know what was going on. But let's not do this again. But, you know, I guess I got a lot of actually some good out of it. And, you know, even this actor that plays on the Netflix show, I think his name is Manny Montana or something like that, from Good Girls. He's like the bad guy in that show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he wrote to me about, you know, he said, hey, I commend you on everything that you've done and how you, you know, I was going through that. you know, and I can relate to you on 100 on everything that you said, you know, me and my wife and my family and this and that. And that, you know, and those type of guys, you know, so I guess, you know, I touched a lot of people on those things. So my thing was just pretty much that, hey, we could be everything we say we want to be, but you know, life sometimes gets to you. You got to work with it.
That's right.
Yeah. And on that, we just want to say thank you. I know it's been a long day, long couple of days, but you got stuff to do. So appreciate you sitting down.
I just think, honestly, it's just what it really is, man. That's why I said after my fight, you know, we're more than athletes, you know. Uh-huh. You know, I think everybody believes that we're just robotic. You know, we're just athletes, just go out there and just keep without no emotions or anything. But we do. Some are better at hiding it than others. So,
well, the problem is that everybody hides it. And then that's when you have your problems outside, your drug use, your alcoholism, you know, your things that go wrong. But they have no idea that you guys, not only are you dealing with the media, you're dealing with people that are your fans, that you have to be yourself 24/7, because if God forbid you ignore somebody, you know, and then you have your family problems on top of that. So I get it, brother. It is compounded tenfold for you guys, and I just commend you on how you handled that, because it was pretty rough.
Man, it's only gonna get worse. Honestly,
it's gonna get better.
But no, not that part. I'm just saying with the fans, these people criticizing as much as they want do, because. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to get the lovers and you're going to get those that are going to support you. And those are the ones that I keep going. And then you got the haters. So everything's a balance. You have those to motivate you. You have those that DM you and tell you that I hope you piss blood on your next fight and stuff like that. So I get that a lot. You know, I've had people say about my mother, my wife, and all I do is just ignore them, delete them, and just move on, because they just want a response from us. I would say,
I have a bad habit of not. I need to take your advice, because I don't delete them. I answer back. I gotta stop that shit. I really do.
My father's like that. I bite my tongue. There's been some that I was able to just throw. But then after I write it, I delete it right away. Mm-hmm. So like, what's the point of that?
Well, your pops has been good at shielding you from some of it. And it is good that your pops actually confront some of it. So that means you don't have to.
But I grew up with my father. Like, my father taught me, you know, but I can't do that now as a professional fighter. But back then, my father was the type, you know, if you have something to say, you know, if you want to run your mouth, he's the type to just hit you. You know, he's not the type to talk about it. He's the type to just go out there and what's up? Like, you want to, what are we going to do? You know, and my father grew up with Puerto Ricans, Italians. My father was a drug dealer. I mean, I have a whole list. That's why my father is the way he is. He doesn't care. He has no. He's just real, and I think that's what people don't understand anymore. I mean, he may do it in his way that sometimes could, you know, but he's just who he is, and I love him for it. You know, I really do.
It's a good yin and yang. You guys are. You guys have a good connection. You guys balance each other out. I've been there exactly. Yeah. On one of the fights at the Hard Rock, where, you know, you guys, I think it was Ryan Garcia, one of these guys, he went to go to the ring to confront. I don't remember exactly what the scenario was, but I was right in front of you.
And
you were so calm. You were so calm. And your dad was fired up. And I'm like, man, that must work for them, because, you know, it's a total polar opposite. Yet you guys mold as a perfect combination. So, yeah,
don't think that I haven't spoke to him. Don't think that I haven't spoke to him. I let him have fun for that time. I let him just do what he loves to do. Yeah. You know, he likes to do what he does. And, you know, getting back to that, I just really like, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, they want me to have a new trainer and stuff, you know, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, I'm always going to back my father 100. I'm always going to back my father no matter what. And, you know, whether Top Rank or anyone out there, anyone that just around the world, they want me not to be with my father. I mean, hey, that's on you. You lose out on me. So I just really, you know, I'm always going to be tied with him.
Of course.
Now, before you move out of 135, because we all know, and you've just stated
tough,
recently.
Man. They're talking that about next year that we'll fight.
I just want to see you. I hope that we're all able to see some of these wars at 135, because eventually you're going to get stronger. You're going to move out. You maybe to the 138, 140 range and stay there for a while. But from me, and this would be my last word for you, is that we appreciate the type of person that you are. Again, when you went through that, it showed me what kind of person you are to be able to handle that with all the people around. You're good friends with Rolly. So of course, man, that dude is crazy. And he's a good kid too. And you guys both coming up together. Obviously, we all want to see you fight Tank. We all want to see you fight Ryan Garcia. And hopefully that we can all stay safe and keep everybody safe so we're able to see some of these before you get stronger and move up. So I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
No problem. I really, Rolly, man, he's on another level. That's all I can do.
Especially now. Especially now that he's in that training with Floyd. I mean, it's going to give him a whole different set of tools.
I am extremely happy for him for that.
Yeah.
I really am. I retweeted it, quote tweeted it. I said, that's dope. Like, that's mad dope. I'm happy for him. He deserves it.
See, hey, it just goes to show you, though, that even at Floyd's age, when things happen in your life that are not private, it brings a conscience to you that, yes, boxing is important, but your family is very important and it comes first. And you are a shining star in that sense. And Floyd, in his 40s, to say, hey, you know what? Roger meant so much to me. Now I get it. Now I realize what he meant to everybody. So I'm going to try to carry on his legacy, and Rolly's going to be the recipient of that. So that's cool. That's good for him. That'll work out.
I think that it's a great move, and it just goes to show Floyd ain't all bad.
He's complicated. Right. We'll say that. He's definitely complicated. What is not complicated is that Teofimo Lopez is certainly on the rise. You got that one strap. We certainly are expecting there are going to be a couple more, maybe 2021. Oh, you got it? Do you have it?
Yeah, hold on. It just came in. Hold on, I got y'all. No, don't go.
See, the people that see Floyd on the back end know that he's a good dude, Cassandra. He's a good dude. He really is. But we'll talk about that some other time.
Look what they gave me, man.
Let's see.
They gave
nice.
You a taste. Yeah. Okay.
Very nice.
All right, let me open this.
I'll pop it open.
I had left this in New York. I got so scared because I thought.
Hey, Cassandra, you know he's trying to get away from hanging that curtain rod. You know that.
What?
You'll be up all night. Man.
Wow, what are you working on right now? Like the living room, the bed? What's your major? That's pretty.
Hey, pretty.
I still got to get it engraved and all that, but you know.
Get your name on it, claim it. Well, we're being told that we got to let you go. So want to make sure that we respect Evan and. What he's trying to make sure that you get your rest, because they do expect you to get back in that ring soon, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. To defend this and collect three more.
All right, nice having you, brother. Be
good
safe,
luck
man.
To the
Thank you,
family.
Guys.
Be safe. See
Be
soon.
Well. Take care.
Bye now. Teofimo Lopez, IBF champion under the banner of Top Rank. But, man, that kid right now is number one with a bullet, absolutely destroyed Richard Comey. And that fight with Lomachenko is going to be very different than I think what Loma fans are thinking that it's going to be.
Man, we just got a lot of kids in that division. You know, Tank, obviously, with Mayweather Promotions, I get to see him fight. We got Ryan Garcia there. We have Loma, there's just it's an abundance of people at that weight class, and he's already said he's got no choice but to move up. You know, the face that he made staying at 135 is probably really working him, and at 22 years of age he's only going to get stronger and eventually move up to that 140 143. So we'll see what happens, and for right now, you know, it's nothing but great fights to be made. So we'll see what happens.
135 is a problem. I mean, you've got like four 20-year-olds, 20-something-year-olds who could all contend. And all of them are actually right on that cusp of moving up, too. Once Devin comes back, you know, he had the injury, he very well might move up soon after that as well. But I think, you know, they're all waiting for that big payday at 135. Teo's going to get that with that Loma fight whenever that happens, and then he'll be out of there. But I don't expect Loma to actually go through all of, you know, all of the young guns coming through there.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty difficult. And for boxing fans, even though, you know, we're all, he's attached to Top Rank, I obviously work with Mayweather Promotions, but man, what if we can get these guys to work deals out, which I know if we can possibly do it, there's going to be some outstanding fights to be made here in the next 18 months. God forbid, no more setbacks.
You know, first want to again say thank you to Mike Dixon and Vegas Sports Daily for actually pulling this off, and Jeremy Long, who's actually on the back end, the other half of the Levels podcast, and he's actually running the behind the scenes for us. So it's actually a whole team effort tonight. But yeah, that 135. But you know, one thing is, you know, we heard so much about the other side of the street, mainly in that welterweight division. You know, Errol said it quite a bit. But I think this COVID-19 pause is going to be something that will definitely level set, because these guys are going to be just looking to fight. So whoever is ready is going to get that fight.
Let me tell you something real quick before we have to go. This pandemic, even though it has taken a lot of lives and it's hurt a lot of people, and again, we respect everyone. We appreciate the people that have lost their lives in this pandemic. But I'll tell you, it has reset a lot of things in this life. The air is cleaner. Our minds, hopefully, are cleaner. We're respecting other people. Where people are not being so mean and malicious. And hopefully for the boxing community, we can, instead of being so standoffish, we can unite together and start making fights like in the 80s, where it didn't matter what side of the street you were from. If there was a fight in the middle of the street, it was going to be made. And hopefully we'll be able to have these guys work with each other a little bit more, because I tell you, there's nothing like the sport. And I'm so glad that we're in it, and I appreciate being on. I appreciate being able to talk to everybody and being able to give what God gave me back to the community, because it's an amazing thing to be able to be a part of this. And we'll see what happens. But for the most part, there's a rainbow at somewhere here in this silver lining of a cloud, and hopefully it's sooner than later, so the boxers can come back to working, and we can get back to working, and the fans can finally be able to get to watch some fights. So,
yeah, we're going to all need each other in a different way, actually, once we're able to come out of the house again and everybody's able to work. And so I'm looking at 2022 to be actually the real telltale sign of what happened and how we've responded to it. I think we're going to get our sea legs in 2021, and then be able to kind of get back to
shit. I'm going to lock the refrigerator until 2022, because I'll tell you, it's just right there. Man, I gotta get going, man. I promised myself that enough was enough. Like, I literally have been watching Netflix and watching, and I'm actually working on a couple of courses myself within the boxing sport. But I tell you, the refrigerator, we got to put a code on it and throw the key away, because, man.
Look, I'm sorry. So, you know, I got the little kids, and homeschooling has been, it really, I'm actually, my degree was in education, and I taught middle school history out of college. And I realized quickly that teaching was not my ministry, at least not in a traditional classroom set. Correct. And so the fact that they're trying to bring me back to it, like, I'm fighting it. So I have to do what I got to do to get them motivated. So there's this donut place.
Look at you.
Wait, it's called Ping Bucks. Right,
and they, where is it? That's in Vegas.
Uh-huh. And they have these
pink box.
Yep, because the box,
I've heard
is,
of pink box,
it's pink. Box is pink. But they have these kits. Check this out. Can you see this?
Really?
Like, you can make your own stuff, man. Like, they give you a cake donut, they give you the yeast donut, and like all these toppings. So I've had to bribe them all week on giving them points. Like, if they earned enough points, then I would get that kit. And so these fools, man, I'm surprised like we didn't hear them. They've been bouncing off the walls, because this was like brunch, and then it was lunch, and then they came down here just before I sat down to have like more of them. So I'm trying not to, like, because, you know, like a woman, what we're gonna do is we're just gonna have a little piece of it,
yeah,
because we don't like the whole thing, and then we'll go back for so many pieces that eventually we've eaten the whole daggone thing. So that's gonna be my dinner, trust.
Well, it looks good. At least you're gonna enjoy it.
Yeah,
I'm probably gonna eat some kind of a dried out chicken breast. That's why I promised myself that I'd be getting back on. I can't go back on Showtime looking crazy. We got to stay some kind of in shape for the tuxedo. I got to be able to put that on. Can't buy a new wardrobe, man.
Everybody got the quarantine 15, man. That's right, all. Right. So, well, hey, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for sitting down with us again, Mike Dixon, Vegas Sports Daily, Levels, and Jeremy Long. And then, of course, special thanks to our guests, Teofimo Lopez and Evan Korn, head of PR for Top Rank, and Ebony Bridges out of Australia. Hope so, guys. Very, very soon. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.
Thank you, guys.